Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I did feel a little judged by Shane. It was very, very interesting, though, watching his reactions to what I was speaking on. It was like completely shut down.
So you help these people in your coaching business by telling them there's a higher power that is... No? I can't connect the dots. I'm sorry.
So you understand what therapy is, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's like talking to somebody and then they basically fixing your problems.
No.
Well, you fix your problems.
I'm sorry. Have you been to a therapist before?
Have not.
Okay, that shows.
To another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. Today, we're talking episode 2, season 5 of Zigging Sister Wife. Can't believe it. We're just going to dive in here because we had a lot to talk about. But honestly, like our flop couple of the episode was Nyla and Naeem. One, they had a very short storyline. Two, Naeem is a flop. And I just can tell he's got a nasty little energy and a nasty spirit of a man that I know when he eventually gets up from this table, he's not going to be any taller than when he was sitting down. And that's what I think is going on here, okay? So let's just get these two out of the way because, well, three really, because honestly... The show is featuring Nyla and Naeem, but this is the Jameela show. Naeem's mother is queen, and she's running shit, and she is the doll, okay? So they're still having the same meal from last episode, having this passive-aggressive-ass conversation over watermelon juice. And Naeem is trying to say to his mom, the benefit of me having more wives is like, I really love family. I want to have a bigger family. There'd be more love going around. Jameela goes, not even looking at her son, right to Nyla. Girl, go get a dog. A cat. Naeem, Mom, you're closed-minded. She goes, no, you guys just think that just because everybody doesn't agree with everything y'all want to have going on, that there's some kind of issue. In a confessional, Naeem, well, I don't even care. I don't even care what my mom thinks. Is, you know, I don't, if she doesn't like what I'm doing, then, you know, I just don't have to waste my energy on her. Imagine saying that about your mom, because she's like, it's weird that you want to fuck a lot of people. Like, you know what I mean. I'm trying not to be, like, anti-poly, because, like, live and let live. But this man just has a bad attitude, and I don't understand why. Well, no, I do understand why. His mom is clowning him every chance that she gets, and it's funny, and he knows it, and it hurts him. And I mean, nobody is ever going to get me, but I could understand that if somebody were to get me, it wouldn't feel good. So this is probably where his little toot is coming from, but I still don't like it. I still don't like it. Because why, if you don't care so much, then why did you waste all this time? Y'all bought $60 worth of watermelon so that you can make three glasses of this slush to present this information to your mother. So don't act like, oh, just because she doesn't like it and now you don't care about her feeling, now you don't want to waste your energy. You wasted all your energy squeezing the life of those watermelons. So don't act like now it doesn't matter. Now it's a non-fucking issue. Okay. Projecting. Okay? Projectile Kyle. It might be what I call you, Naeem. I'm going to workshop. I'm going to think about it over the weekend. So then they tell Jamila, like, listen, I don't need you to like it, whatever. I just need you to know what's going to happen before things happen, because I don't want it to be like, oh, boom, I got somebody at the house. She goes, you're having somebody at the house? Who? So they tell her, her name's Keisha. She lives in Georgia. How did you meet her? Online. Oh, God. Oh, God. And she's like rolling her eyes. And so Naeem is like, Mom, you know how I do things, right? And she goes, no, I'm really not sure. I really am not sure. And he goes, oh, so you're so perfect? What is wrong with this man? Jamila says, I don't want to hear any more about this. And then she says in a confessional, to be honest with you, I need to give this consideration a lot. I need to give a lot more consideration to this process. And really, that was it. That was it. I'm wondering if I'm having a theory that maybe we fizzle out with Slick Nick and the girls because of what happens in this episode. And maybe we're like saving Naeem and Naila's storyline for later. But we'll see. We'll see. Otherwise, I don't know why they're featuring them. Because it looks like next week we meet a new couple. And they seem bold, brash, and brazen. So, am I excited? A little fearful. All right, moving on. Let's actually move on to Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips. So we start off pretty optimistic, seemingly. Nick is at home taking care of baby Vera. He's dressed up like he's about to go to the Easter parade or something. Baby pink button down with a white collar. I've never seen anything like that. Didn't even know you could do that in fashion, men's fashion. Okay, moving on, to each his own. Black pants, a tie, and he says he loves being a dad, and so he likes to dress the part. He really is, like, for y'all who are on TikTok and watching that Mormon girl, Nara Smith, make her children, today my children wanted Cinnamon Toast Crunch, so I made it from scratch. It's, the way this chick makes things from scratch is so fucking, she's out of her mind. But anyway, my point is, I think Slick Nick might be the Nara Smith of the Aurora stay-at-home dad community, okay? I think it might be. So Jennifer comes home. She's the mother, the original mother, right? Ask Nick, have you spoken to Danielle, right? He says, well, you know, like we said last episode, she has expressed concern about there being another wife in the family. But Jennifer, Nick's like, do you think it was too soon? Do we think I put too much pressure on her? We put too much pressure on her? And Jennifer says no. Like, basically, she knew what time it was when she entered this situation. She knew exactly what it was. She's the third wife. She knew y'all were looking for one or two more. So we didn't, like, hit her with the okey-doke here. Like, she peeped game from the beginning. So Nick is just like, well, I'm hoping that if we just find the right person, then she'll be into it, right? And then Jennifer says, honestly, the real question is whether or not she's fit for this lifestyle, right? And then I'm thinking, we don't really have much here this week with these two, or four, right? Then emotional music starts to play. Screen goes black. And it says, shortly before the crew was set to film, the producers received a call from Nick. Danielle moved out. Uh-oh. So now Nick's sitting on the couch, and they're Jennifer Convertible's couch, you know, because they need several pieces for all the members of the household, right? He's sitting in the middle. They're holding hands. They got a little tray in front of them, two mimosas and what looks to be like maybe an old fashioned or maybe just like a cranberry vodka. Who's to say? Nick, let me know what your cocktail is. But they're having drinks and holding hands and looking at each other, tears in their eyes. What's going on? Nick tells us and them that he was in bed with the baby. He could hear a commotion he calls it. And then when he goes upstairs, he goes into the kitchen and sees the windowsill looks different. All the plants that they used to have were gone. And then Danielle's walking into the house like she's coming back and forth to the car loading her shit. So Nick is like, what's going on with the plants? And she says, moving out. Now, why would that be your first question, sir? So she tells him, not only am I moving out, I got my own apartment. I'm leaving. Y'all, she got that season 2 check and was like, let me put down a deposit, okay? First and last months, I got you. So now April and Jennifer weeping, okay? They ask Nick, what did you say? And he's like, well, I told Danielle she's got to do what's best for her. I still love her. And then he says, I'm just trying to, the visuals, what's cracking me up, that he was just standing there for like an hour in disbelief as Danielle was packing her shit, walking in and out of the house, just standing there until she finally left. And then he says, listen, I know that there were times that Danielle was struggling, but I feel like the rug kind of got pulled out from underneath us. I did not anticipate this. So he asks, was there anything I did wrong? And Jennifer, she's like feeling bad. Like, I keep thinking about what we could have done differently. But April's a little bit annoyed. She's trying to hide it, but it's simmering. Okay, it's bubbling underneath. So she's like, honestly, I just wonder if this is maybe because Danielle really wanted to be in a, she had a hard time finding the word, like monogamous relationship. So then, conveniently, ding, 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 she gets a message from Danielle. So it starts with April. We see the whole screen. Starts with, it seems like maybe they sent a picture because April says, all that's missing is you, and Danielle Hart responds. So Danielle says, I love you guys so much. I miss you all a lot. I hope everyone is enjoying and having a good night. Sending my love always. April says, we love you, Danielle. We hope you're doing okay. We'll miss you always. In a perfect world, you would still be here. I wish we knew before. It was too late. I wish we knew before it was too late. Be safe out there, my love. Danielle responds, I wish you all the best. I don't think I realized what I was doing. I don't know what that is. I guess I just have a lot of things to figure out. I couldn't keep doing the same thing, expecting it to change, but I love you guys and I miss you all very much. That'll never change. And I'm kind of wondering, what is the timeline here? Are they really just figuring it out? Because this is giving, I've made peace with this breakup and like I'm truly sending you back out into the world with like love and light. Not like a conversation that I think anybody, even like the chillest person, would be having, you know, the day after she surprise moved out of the house. Like, I wouldn't just be like, I wish you all the best, you know? But also, like, how much of a relationship are they in? I really don't know. I mean, y'all were like four to the bed. You know, we're bunk mates. I guess that is fair. I don't want to discount that. But I don't know. I don't know, like, is April that upset? But I also want to know, how long did we go from Nick calling the producers or the producers finding out before they started filming to this couch conversation? Because I feel like it's probably longer than a day. I would say maybe even like a month or two. So the other two get to crying again, and April says, well, what if we just try and make it clear to Danielle that she can come back if she wants. Like, the door is still open, right? And she says, I'll try to reach out. So April says in a confessional, it's not just us losing somebody. It's, like, William, who's her son, who we haven't seen since, like, maybe the second episode that they were featured last season.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
She has a kid that she met when she met Nick. No, she had a kid when she met Nick. And they've like, Nick has basically been raising him, right? So she's like, it's also William and Vera losing a mom. We don't know how we're gonna tell the kid. I'm like, well, I don't think you're gonna tell Vera anything. She's not even 1 year old, so it'll be fine. Like, I know, but it'll be fine, right? So then Nick is like rubbing his head and saying, you know, as the head of the household, this is something that I should have seen, but I didn't. Like, how? I saw that in the first episode. And I'm also wondering, okay, are they now fully broken up and we just, like, the scenes that we were seeing them in all together doing their little confessionals last episode, were those fake? And we're just, like, trying to fit the storyline of them being together? I really wonder, like, how much footage did they get before Danielle dipped? We got a Danielle dip. All right, let's move on to Joel. I think we should move on to Joel and Slackjaw. So last we left them, they were doing whatever in the yard, trying to break it down to Sam and Samantha that they have met a new lady for Garrick. New lady for Mr. Joel. So Sam, I mean, both of them, like, their heads wanting to explode, right? Sam tells us, the definition of insanity is doing something over and over again and trying to get different results. Slackjaw tells Samantha, well, you know, Natalia seemed really sweet. And Samantha's like, yeah, they all seem really sweet. So then Samantha tells us, maybe I just have a bad taste in my mouth because of Roberta, but I just feel like history really could repeat itself. Especially because Garrick needs to get to know this person before they get into bed with him. So Sam and Samantha both ask Joel and Slackjaw, what about the language barrier? Does she speak English? Not really. Okay, well, what about that? Because that was an issue with Roberta, right? Garrick's like, no, the issue with Roberta was that she was using us for money. So in a confessional, Joel Osteen and Slackjaw say that they did, in fact, have concerns about Natalia and being taken advantage of by her. But then Slackjaw laughs, and I'm using that, like, you know, like the saddest laugh, the most depressing laughter that you could ever hear. We're not stupid. So then Slackjaw tells Samantha, they've been talking to Natalia for 4 months. They're planning on going to Mexico to meet up with her. And so Samantha is like, are you 100% for this? Here we get the truth. Slackjaw admits, honestly, if it were up to me, I would say that I'm not ready yet. You've never been ready, ma'am. You're never going to be ready. You don't want to be ready. What you want is your husband to stop wanting to stick his dick in women. But he doesn't want to do that. So you're trying to justify and, like, not melt when he tells people with complete earnesty that the Holy Ghost and being filled by the Holy Ghost is spunk, ma'am. This is your life. So then Slackjaw says in a confessional that her heart and her mind are still pretty fresh off of the betrayal from Bert, and she wonders if Garrick is trying to do something to move past, like, find a little rebound because his girl left him, right? I think it's probably more that he wants to move into another vagina. Excuse me. Fill somebody up with the Holy Ghost. Right? Really spread the gospel of Garrick and Joel Osteen, right? So then Sam asks Joel if Natalia's been asking them for money. And he goes, no, fortunately not. So Sam goes, okay, well, does she have a job? And Joel says, well, she's in law school. So does she have a job? No, she has to apply, or I think maybe she already started. Joel, what do you know about this woman that you claim to love? You don't even know if she's applying for other jobs. And also, if you're trying to get her into America to live with you and be married to you, why would she be looking for jobs in Brazil? Don't you think that maybe you would just say, hold off on that and let's see where the relationship goes? Or like, see what it would take for you to get your Brazilian, to pass the bar in America? No, I would pay $3.99 for access to 42 minutes of Joel Osteen attempting to have a conversation with these women. And what is it that they're talking about? And what is it that Blackjaw knows, and what does she not know? Like, is she allowed to be in the room for these conversations? Because I have a feeling there's probably a lot that she just has no idea about. But also, like, what is he talking to these women about? And I'm not saying this like they don't have the capability of having a conversation. I'm like, what is he talking to them about? Because I bet it's fucking weird. And I really want to know. So Sam is like, do you think you know if she applying, or do you actually know? He's like, well, I haven't asked her. So Sam says, I don't think you should do this again. But Garrick's like, you know, you're always really forgiving, but I really don't think it's a smart decision to just jump in like this. Sam tells Joel, please don't jump in this quickly. Try to be careful. And Joel's like, oh, well, we're meeting her mom and sister in Mexico. And Sam's like, okay, are you paying for them to come? Yes. Okay, well, you're already paying for them, sir. And, like, listen, I have to say that, like, as a, you know, raging liberal, I don't love that Sam and Samantha dip a little too much into the financial, taking advantage of people financially, but I do feel like it's very obvious that Joel is truly just running on vibes. And while Slackjaw has a lot of the natural concerns, like, they're happening, she just doesn't care to admit them to anybody who's actually going to change, meaning Joel. Like, she'll tell us, she'll tell Samantha, she'll tell Sam, she'll tell it to the wall, she'll tell it to the hole, but she won't tell her husband that she really doesn't, I don't want any more bitches in this house. I want to be the only bitch. And I need you to let that go. So Samantha tells Slackjaw, just maybe don't repeat the same thing and try to get to know her before you and Danielle goes propose. And Samantha goes, yeah. Why are you guys thinking about proposing? And Slackjaw gets this Cheshire cat grin on her and goes, well, maybe. Oh, Jesus Christ. So Slackjaw tells us, listen, the proposal is no guarantee, but he did make a ring, so it is a guarantee. They flash to that ring real quick, and it is giving QVC, okay? QVC. It is a flower. It's like a diamond center with, like, sapphire and maybe, like, I don't know if there are blue or purple petals around it. First of all, that's not an everyday ring. The band was, like, engraved with, like, leaves and stuff. That is costume jewelry, sir. You can't wear that every day. She's not Marie Antoinette, not doing a damn thing, like, having people dress her. She does one load of dishes, and it's over. It's over, okay? I know what I'm looking at. If you look at something on TV and it's dull on television, you know what I mean? Speaks for itself, babe. Not at all practical. Much like this relationship, not gonna happen. DOA. So now Samantha really looks like she's about to pass out because she's like, oh my God. Oh, this man that I'm, like, somehow tethered to, not even biologically, through marriage, is now running shit. He's run to eBay to buy costume jewelry for a woman that he hasn't even met yet. She's over it. She's like, I just need to wrap my head around this a little bit, okay? And then Samantha tells us, I do think that Garrick is moving too fast. I think it's crazy. I think that Garrick can be a little bit crazy sometimes. And then Sam says, I'm not going to lie, it does feel a little bit too fast, and I am nervous about it. Sam, like, no shade. And I mean this with all the respect in the world. Sam looks like a sloth. Like, in the face. Not a weight thing. Don't even come for me. Like, look at him. Look at a cartoon sloth from, like, look at a Pixar sloth and tell me if that doesn't favor Sam just a little bit. Just a tiny bit. So then Slackjaw says to us the truth, right? You know, she does it in this way where she brings up these hypotheticals that we know are actually just her true feelings, but she's trying to make them hypothetical. Like, I'm nervous. What if our heart gets broken? What if we need more time to heal? You know what I mean? And so Sam tells Joel, I don't really want to, like, step on your parade, but, like, you know, after all you and my sister were doing with all the crying, I'm trying to look out for you, and I just don't want to see it happen again, because if you hurt my sister again, I'm going to have to bury you. And this is the loudest we've ever heard Joel get when he goes, I didn't hurt her. And Sam is like, yeah, but you're the one bringing these ladies in, and you better make sure that they're the right one before you jump in. He's pissed. And he's like, you need to start doing it differently. Like, you say you're going to be doing things differently, but you're not. And then it was time for Joel's turn. His jaw gets to slacking, okay? So now Joel Osteen and Slackjaw are meeting up to discuss the fact that they just basically got their asses handed to them by Sam and Samantha. Slackjaw tries to soft launch these concerns that she / Samantha had, you know, stuff that she obviously agrees with, but it's like, oh, you know, Samantha was saying, I didn't say this, but Samantha said maybe moving to intimacy quickly and proposing, that there might be, like, a point to taking things slower. And, you know, I do see her point, because I saw how much Bert hurt your heart. And, like, my heart was hurting, and I don't want your heart to hurt. And finally admits that she's been having these hesitations about the Mexico trip in general, because everything is still very fresh with her. She's wondering what Natalia's intentions might be. And she's like, you know, everything seems good now, but I think, like, we might need to try to get to know her better, because we went through all this craziness with Roberta. So what's going on? Like, so he goes, no, if God tells you to do something, you need to do it. I mean, if we didn't know that, then why would we make it this fast, right? I don't even know what he's talking about. In a confessional, Joel says, are you guys ready for this? Because if you are ready, this is the Holy Ghost part two, electric boogaloo to his harebrained, cum-brained theories. So he says, in a confessional, Slackjaw's sitting right next to him. This man has no couth, no regard, no manners, okay? No tact. Joel says, God came and met me and Danielle one day in the garage. We've been praying a lot and asking him to direct us, you know, if somebody should be in our family or not, right? Because it was just getting really serious to just even ask God, like, if I should have a wife. And I don't know how to explain it. I just felt like a little wind, the presence of God, it just filled the whole garage, and this peace and love and joy floated over us. And we just knew that God met us there in that garage to witness to us both, and that it was serious. So based on what I'm hearing, what's hitting my eardrums is that Joel was in the garage having probably a little private moment thinking about Natalia, and Slackjaw walked in on him as he was filling his panties with the Holy Ghost, and he tried to, like, clean it up and be like, oh no, I was just having a spiritual witness. Did you feel the wind? That's God. That's God, Danielle. So after this, Joel tells us in a confessional, listen, I'm definitely taking in what Sam said and Samantha said, but waiting around for a relationship is not really my thing. So I'm going to go propose. Help us all. Oh my gosh. So then Joel continues his lies to Slackjaw and telling her, we need to go into this and try to see the character of Natalia and her mother. Slackjaw says in the confessional, I don't agree. My gut is really telling me that we need to wait and that this trip might be a little too soon. Anyway, next we see them. They're in Mexico. Joel is in his classic Jim Jones goes to the beach outfit with his black tank top and the Elvis sunglasses, you know, the aviators, the brown aviators. Something that usually looks hot on almost every man except for him and Jim Jones. So he tells us that they're in Cancun. The reason why they're in Cancun is because Natalia knows that their go-to spot with Roberta is Cabo. And she was like, I don't want the old shit. You're not spinning the block on me, sir. I want the new. And it's going to be awkward if you bring me to Cabo, so I don't want to. So Slack says, you know, I think we're both nervous about meeting Roberta for the first time. So then she's like, you know, I'm really worried that Garrick might like her. And like, what if he likes her? And what if I don't? Or what if we're not ready? / what if I'm not ready? Because I've never been ready. Because I don't want to do this. You know, what about those sorts of hypotheticals? And she's like, you know, just because you're scared, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't still be doing something, you know? Slackjaw tries to say to Joel, what if it's too soon? And he's like, but it's a blessing no matter what, you know? And then she can't say anything, so her face just starts twitching. Their sons, they have teenage sons named Jeremiah and Solomon, I think. They're there. And at first, I'm like, why do these two children need to be here? Why do they need to be there? But then I'm thinking, oh, let's think about the first time they were in Mexico. And I don't know if the kids were there, but I don't think they were. And what happened is that Slackjaw turned her back for 3 seconds, and Joel Osteen got Roberta bent over the bathroom sink. She's screaming, oh no, sis will be back, because he's just trying to get a little nut in before Slackjaw realizes it. So she's like, you know, I'm going to bring the kids here for some backup, you know? Maybe this time you can learn to lock the door, you sick fuck. And then we find out that at 5:45, Garrett called producers over to their hotel room to tell them that the airport is not letting Natalia get on the plane because she needs to get a visa. Apparently, since Bert started traveling, the situations, the rules have changed with, you know, the immigration laws between Mexico and Brazil. And so now Brazilians, they need a visa to go there, right? They can't just go there with their passport. So they're on FaceTime with her, and Garrick is telling us that Natalia is telling them that the Mexican government is giving them issues, but he's looking on the website and he's not seeing, like, whatever things that Natalia is telling him, he's not seeing anything about that being reflected on the Mexican government website. So now Slackjaw is sitting there standing by her man, rubbing his neck and trying to soothe him. He's got tears in his eyes. Now, there, she's holding the phone up with Natalia on FaceTime. He's having to hold his phone up to that phone to do the translation so that they can figure out what's going on in each other's languages. And Natalia is saying that, like, whatever it is that she's requesting isn't going to be processed. Like, it's not working. But production is telling Slackjaw and Joel, we've actually just tried it twice in the past 10 minutes, and it's going through for us perfectly fine. So then they're wondering, like, okay, what the hell's going on? Is she getting cold feet? Is she lying to us? So Natalia tells them that there are people in Brazil who try to get to Mexico, and they hire people, they pay people to push their file through the system quicker and so that they can get their visa, but she doesn't know how she's going to be able to do that. So we end on her being like, I'm going to have to call you guys back in 20 minutes. All right, and we have to end on our legendary, it's not legendary, it's only episode 2, but It's getting there. It's getting there. Mess. Absolute mess with Shane and Ashley. So Ashley, as we know, has been dating the other eyebrows for a couple months at this point, Grace. Grace has been pretty hesitant to meet up with Shane, but now they're finally going to have lunch together, all three of them, right? Awkward already. She's super nervous, and she's just like, listen, I just want to get to know you. Shane's super nervous. He's like, I just want to get to know you. And he tries to be like, so tell me, how old were you when you had your first kiss? Now, out of all the questions, Shane, why would that be the first one? Out of all of the questions you could ever ask anybody. And then they start bonding over their first kiss happening in sixth grade. And this is literally the only bonding that they're able to do before it becomes a complete train disaster. Grace tells us first that, you know, her first kiss was a girl. She has growing up mostly dated men, but she started seeing Ashley. She's been, you know, studying more on ethical non-monogamy. And this is just like kind of the path that she's been taking recently. So then we see this very awkward moment where I think it was supposed to be like poetic, because they're ordering their food and Grace orders whatever on the menu is vegan, soy-free, gluten-free, whatever. Just get me whatever. A salad, right? And then Shane is like, I will have the medium rare steak tips. I'm like, okay. We're two different sides of a coin here. I'm not even sure if we're on the same coin. So then Shane decides to break the tension. He's really kind of like Giselle from Real Housewives of Potomac. Like, he'll get right in there, and it's kind of not appropriate. It's awkward, but we're just going for it, right? So he says, you know, Grace, it just threw me off a little bit that you didn't want to meet me right away, and I can respect that to a degree, that you wanted to start your relationship with Ashley, right? But I also just kind of feel like I was being cast aside, like you were maybe stealing Ashley from me, like stealing my wife away. So Grace goes, well, I was at your wedding. And he goes, yeah, but I didn't know you. Like, girl, you were just the makeup artist. Like, I understand. She is trying to get sass him about the fact, like, I know you're married. I know she's married to you, sir. But chill. Chill, right? And he goes, yeah, but you weren't dating my wife at the time. So Grace gives it right back to him and goes, Shane, so how does that feel to you?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How does it feel that I'm dating her? Grace is in a confessional. Typically, I don't care if people like me or not, but obviously, if this is going to be a relationship between me and Ashley, if it's going to have any chance of working, I need to at least, at the minimum, be on the same page with Shane and have some level of camaraderie. So Shane says, well, I know you guys have been on a few dates, but there haven't been much, you know. He just starts, you hear this? He's just mashing his fingers together, like, there's not been much, you know. Remember the good old days of Paul from 90 Day Fiancé, when the weirdest thing that he did was ask Karini's dad for her hand in marriage, and then he did the international sign that everybody on this planet knows for penis in the vagina. And the dad's looking down, like, this man, Paul went down on one knee and did the pee in the V, finger in the hole move to demonstrate that he wanted to propose. Sir, that's fuck. We all knew it. We all have decided years ago that that means fuck, not will you marry me. So then Shane goes, yeah, the touchy-feely stuff. Is there a reason for that? And Grace looks over at Ashley and goes, yeah, is there a reason why we haven't done that? And then Shane goes, yeah, because, you know, I feel like it's been like 6 or 7 dates or so. And Grace is like, oh, has it been that much? Like, have you been counting, sir? So Grace says, because he finally, after we get to when did you kiss somebody? Why haven't you fucked my wife? Because it's been 6 or 7 dates. Why haven't y'all been mashing fingers together? Finally, we get to, what do you do for a living? What are your hobbies, Grace? So Grace tells him she is a coach in the developmental field, and she helps, like, from a spiritual level, she helps entrepreneurs learn to cultivate peace internally in their lives. She's helping them break through the blockages to get to their next level, right? So Shane's like, okay, I don't really know what that means. Sorry, could you, like, give me some sort of explanation? And Grace says, well, I communicate with the universe. It's called, like, channeling. And so Shane makes this face, like when you give a baby a lemon for the first time, you know? But then he pulls it together real quick. But we all saw it, okay? He tries to pull it together real quick, and he goes, oh, that's interesting. So then Grace kind of gets an attitude because, you know, we saw the face, right? And she's like, yeah, I was really interested in seeing how you would react to that information, you know? So, sounds like you don't really believe what I was saying, which is why I was trying to take things slow in the first place. So that's interesting. And so he goes, yeah, I guess I don't fully believe it. We're just watching Ashley's reactions, like she completely shut down. So Shane is like pushing it again. He goes, so, like, can you give me a better explanation of what you do? Is it kind of like therapy where you just, like, fix people's problems? And Grace goes, have you ever been to therapy, Shane? And he goes, actually, no. And she goes, it shows. Damn! So then Grace looks over at Ashley and goes, like, sorry, Shane looks over at Ashley, like, what is her problem, right? And so Shane says, listen, I just don't agree that there's like a higher power that will give you all the signs to everything in your life and make yourself better. I just personally believe that you have to do that for yourself. So Shane tells us, Grace kind of feels a little full of herself, right? Like, I don't really like how she was speaking to me. So then we kind of shift where Grace asks Shane, what made you want to be part of this lifestyle? Because you're not ultimately getting anything out of it, right? So he says mostly it was because he wanted Ashley to be like, explore herself. He didn't want to hamper her lifestyle at all. And like, you know, he says, I want to be able to get along with whoever Ashley chooses. Ashley's really not been saying anything during this whole conversation, but she tells us in a confessional, this is awkward. This is awkward. And I kind of feel like I'm having to defend both of them to a degree. But then Shane says in a confessional, like, it really would have been nice if Ashley had interacted with the conversations about spirituality. And Grace says that they've had these conversations about spirituality before. So, like, she was just feeling kind of like left out high and dry, right? And maybe she didn't want to bring it up because she knew Shane he's not into that stuff, right? So then she's like, I'm actually wondering if maybe Ashley and Shane are not as on the same page as they think they are. So as soon as Grace leaves, and by the way, Grace just leaves. Like, I did not see a dent made in that salad nor any meal. I didn't see a steak tip get off that plate. Nobody used a napkin. Grace is just like, I gotta go. And Ashley's like, oh, do you? She's like, I think it's time. She just gets up. Just leaves. Shane minces no words. I don't know if I can get on board with this, Ashley. It's weird. So Ashley says that Grace and Shane meeting complete big train wreck, right? There were sides of Grace that she had not seen before, and she was actually really disappointed in Grace because Grace was really disrespectful to Shane. But Shane is working it. He's milking it because he knows that Ashley's kind of like, ooh, I didn't love that. But he's like, oh, I've got this opportunity. I'm taking the most out of it that I can, right? So he's like, you know, I really just don't see any chemistry between you and Grace, like, at all. It kind of seems more platonic, like a friendship situation. I don't know, Ashley, it's just really not making sense to me. Not adding up. So in a confessional, he's like, you know, there were actually many red flags with Grace. First one, she didn't want to meet me. She didn't even want to entertain meeting me when they first started talking, right? Second thing, when we did meet, Grace was like all full of herself, okay? Third red flag is that her job, the fact that she's a coach, she thinks she's some kind of therapist. He actually brings up a fairly good point of the fact that Grace has had no formal training, no schooling to get to this, like, you know, leadership role that she's had. Whereas Ashley, excuse me, y'all, New York is happening outside here. Wow. Wow. Yeah, it's Godzilla, doesn't it? Godzilla just traipsing by. So he says Grace has no formal schooling or training, but Ashley is actually a psychiatrist. She spent like 12 years in school to get to where she is, right? So he then also says that he noticed that Ashley's body language changed during that lunch, which was like red flag number 15 or something, right? So he's like, listen, I don't really think that Grace is necessarily trying to steal Ashley away from me, but I do think that there may be an element of, I'm going to try to get Ashley to maybe like me more than you. And if we don't get along, then I don't really care about that, which is just, it's kind of the same thing, Shane. I think you're trying to make yourself feel better, but I don't think it's helping. So then he's like, you know, Ashley says, I just really need some time to, like, consider everything with Grace. I don't really want to make an emotional decision, you know, because we just came off of this awkward interaction, right? Shane is straight up like, it's a no for me, dog, right? And Ashley says, okay, I hear you. I will definitely take that into consideration. So Shane is pissed now because he's thinking, oh, I got this locked in. Like, Ashley's done. He's like, actually, Ashley, I'm really shocked that you would even still be thinking about pursuing this relationship with Grace, especially after that lunch. Like, you were there, girl. And I'm just like, really wondering what it is that you see in Grace here, because what is it that you're holding on to? Because I don't see it. I mean, you're not wrong. I don't see it with the compatibility with Grace, especially as Ashley made it very clear that she does not have any sort of physical or sexual attraction to her. But I mean, I could also just look right at you, Shane, and say, I'm not really seeing the sexual attraction between you and your wife either. And that might be more concerning. You really should be more concerned that maybe she does not really want to have sex with you and less concerned about how much she might want to have sex with Grace or another woman. So might want to focus on start inward and then work out, you know? Let's do that. All right, y'all. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.